Welcome to our next session on dispensationalism. And today we want to look at a simple subject, and that is the fact that the New Testament epistles do use the term dispensation in exactly the same way dispensationalists use it, and that the Apostle Paul in three of his epistles mentioned specific examples of dispensations. Not all of them are mentioned, but he gives reference to at least four, maybe more. So let's look in the book of Galatians. And Galatians chapter 3 mentions three distinct dispensations. Even though the term dispensation isn't used, the concept there is clear. He mentions the dispensation that we call the dispensation of promise, and he says in verse 16, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." So God gave new revelation to Abraham and to his seed. And this new revelation included what we refer to as the Abrahamic covenant. And that was really a promise of a seed and a land and blessings, which became the fountainhead, if you will, of all the other covenants that God made with Israel. So here, Abraham was given revelation by God, a covenant, and this covenant described the fact that God was now dealing with man in a brand new way. It was a new administration of the affairs of God's household on earth. Prior to the dispensation of promise, God had been working with all nations, but that changed in the dispensation of promise. God had been working with, in the dispensation of human governments, with all the distinct nations around the world, but now, in the dispensation of promise, God changed his administration, and here he's seen dealing with only one man and his seed, Abraham, and the seed of his, the seed of Abraham, which became the nation of Israel. And certainly this was a brand new way of God administering his moral absolutes in the world. This was a new way of God handling the affairs of his household. And God speaks here in Galatians of the dispensation of promise. Galatians also mentions the dispensation to follow promise, namely the age of law, the dispensation of law. And he says in verse 17, the law, which came 430 years after, meaning after the Abrahamic covenant. So the dispensation of the Abrahamic covenant lasted for 430 years. We know exactly how long it lasted. And then it was followed by new revelation that God gave to Moses in the form of the Mosaic Law and all the hundreds of regulations that went along with that. And so certainly the law of Moses was separate and distinct. It was a distinguishable economy, distinct from the previous age when God was working with one man and his descendants. Now he's working with the nation of Israel. And God gave much revelation during this particular dispensation. Moses wrote the entire Pentateuch, not just the Ten Commandments that were given to him. And so this new revelation, the progress of revelation in every dispensation, there is new revelation given, and that brings new responsibilities for the ones to whom that revelation is addressed. They are to obey it. They are to live by that new rule of life. So this new law that God gave to Moses 430 years after he gave the covenant to Abraham, and now the Jews were to live by the Mosaic law. That was their rule of life. And it was unmistakably different than the way God's people lived prior to that. For example, Abraham and the patriarchs. They knew nothing of the Ten Commandments. They certainly didn't live by them. It was a different age. And we know that every age, every dispensation ends in failure. And the dispensation of law ended in failure as well. And It ended in failure not because the law was flawed, but rather because of the failure of human flesh. Paul writes to the Romans and said, "For what the law could not do," and what could the law not do? "It cannot sanctify and it cannot justify." It has nothing to do with salvation. It was never intended to have anything to do with salvation. It was, however, a rule of life. So Paul says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh," the weakness lay not in the law itself, but in the weakness of human flesh, our sinfulness. "And so God, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." You know, the book of Hebrews also tells us that the law made nothing perfect. And that was Israel's problem during this dispensation. They assumed that if they tried really hard, then they would be able to keep the law and be justified in God's sight by their effort and by their hard work. And yet that was never the intention of the law. And in time, the nation of Israel turned away from the law of God, and they turned to idolatry and sinfulness. And so the nation of Israel ultimately failed in the age of law by rejecting her own Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to offer them the kingdom. So the book of Galatians first mentions the dispensation of promise, and then mentions the fact that it was followed afterwards by the age of law. And Paul continues in the book of Galatians to describe a new age that will be characterized by faith as opposed to law. And so in this new age, everything is by grace through faith. And we see that in verse 23, the dispensation of grace, where in Galatians 3:23, where Paul says, "Before faith came, we were kept under the law," verse 23. And then he goes on to say in verse 25, "But after faith has come, we are no longer under the law." So dispensations, as we saw previously, can end. And that's what we see with the law. It came to an end. And it was a new dispensation took over. Now, interestingly, in verse 23 of Galatians 3, Paul says that before faith came, we, meaning the Jews, were kept under the law and shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. So he described life in the under the rule of law as being kept under and being shut up. And so here Paul uses an unusual description to characterize the dispensation of law, and he illustrates it with a prison. He says the Jews were kept, meaning guarded, under the law, and they were shut up or they were confined or restricted, enclosed by that law. And so this was the illustration that described how Israel was restricted by the law of Moses. There were over 605 various regulations that were codified into the Mosaic law. And the whole point of this custody, or being kept under, being restricted or enclosed as like a prison, it wasn't for punishment, but rather it was for their protection. It was kind of like a protective custody. And the law protected Israel. It was designed to keep them separate from the pagan nations all around them. It was designed to protect them from being assimilated into the nations. And so the law continued, Paul says, until another age characterized by grace through faith began. And he mentions that in verse 24. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." So the law continued until, he says, until Christ. So the law ended. Grace came by Moses, but rather the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So when Christ came, that was the end of the law of Moses and the beginning of a new age, a new dispensation. So we see here a change from one dispensation to another in one change from one administration, one economy, one method of dealing with mankind or a portion thereof, and it changed, the rule of life changed from age to age. And Galatians mentions three distinct dispensations, promise, law, and grace by faith. Now Ephesians does the same thing. In Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 10, Paul speaks of a future dispensation. And he says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. So here Paul speaks about a future. Now Paul lived, was writing during the church age. His life spanned the age of law. He was at the end of that dispensation, and his ministry continued as an apostle to the church. And writing during the church age in the book of Ephesians, Paul looked ahead. He realized the church age wasn't going to last forever, but rather it would be followed by a dispensation of the fullness of times. And so here, this is obviously future. And it speaks about God's plan for the future. There was a fullness of time. And so here, this future dispensation was really the consummation of God's long-awaited plan for his Messiah and his eternal kingdom, the first 1,000 years of which we understand to be the millennial kingdom, that 1,000-year reign. And that was future. And Paul also mentions in Ephesians chapter 2 the present dispensation in which he was living and writing at the time. In Ephesians 3:2, he says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you. In this age, God manages his household not according to the law of Moses, but rather according to the principles of grace as revealed in the New Testament epistles. So Paul spoke about a future age, the consummation of ages. He spoke about a present dispensation, the grace of God. And then also in Ephesians 3, Paul looks backwards and he speaks of dispensations in the plural in ages past. In Ephesians 3 in verse 5, he says, which in other ages, plural, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So here Paul is speaking in the past tense about ages that have already transpired. And he speaks of them in a plurality. So there were at least two. And these were distinctive ages. They were not part of the church. They were not part of the future millennial kingdom. They were distinct, distinguishable economies that differed from other ages. So we see in the book of Ephesians that the apostle speaks about dispensations past, at least two. There was plural, there were others, but at least two. The present dispensation, there's three, and then the future, that's four. And without stating an exact number, how many dispensations they are, he did make it very clear that there were at least two in the ages past. And these are all mentioned in the book of Ephesians. Galatians mentions several dispensations using the term exactly as dispensationalists do. Paul mentions three specifically, and it alludes to the fact that there were more than one in the past, and we see that in the book of Ephesians. We see several dispensations. The term is used, and it's used exactly as dispensationalists use it, and specific, distinct, and distinguishable economies or rules of life are mentioned. And we see the same thing in Colossians. Colossians mentions at least two dispensations. And in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 25, Paul says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So God gave revelation to Paul, and he refers to this revelation in Colossians as a mystery. Not that it was mysterious or difficult to understand. It's simply a term that means truths that were known in the mind of heart of God, but were never revealed in ages past until it was revealed in the New Testament. And so Paul was delivered this new revelation that was to govern, was to be the rule of life during the church age or the age of grace, however you want to describe it. The dispensation, Paul was made a minister, and he was a steward of these mysteries, and he delivered this new revelation, which gave new responsibilities to believers in this age. And he says in Colossians 1:26, even the mystery, these new truths that govern the rule of life for the new age, the church age, he says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages. So again, Paul mentions, at least he uses the plural to describe ages which were characterized by unique and distinct and distinguishable rules of life. He says, from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to the saints. So those previous ages before had no revelation whatsoever concerning the church. Moses knew nothing of the church. David knew nothing of the church. Jeremiah knew nothing of the church. It was unrevealed. It wasn't because they were not discerning enough to see it in the Old Testament. It's because it wasn't in the Old Testament. It was a mystery. It was not revealed. And the unique nature of the church, Paul reveals in his epistles, and he describes this new way of God administering his moral absolutes and his affairs in this world by describing the church as a union of Jews and Gentiles, an unusual union, a union of Jews and Gentiles united on equal footing in one body that he calls one new man, the body of Christ or the church. And so this was special new revelation that was never known in ages past. So the concept of dispensations is a biblical concept. They use the term exactly the same way dispensationalists do, and they spell out for us very clearly the dispensations that are described in great detail in the New Testament, in both Testaments, law, grace, and kingdom. There's a lot of revelation about that. Four of the seven dispensations that we would refer to, I believe there were seven dispensations, four of them are referred to, mentioned, alluded to in the epistles. And three of those are specifically mentioned by name: law, grace, and kingdom. And some of these dispensations, the earlier dispensations, there's very, very little revelation given in the Bible concerning them. So it's not surprising that not all dispensationalists believe on the exact number of dispensations. I believe there are seven, but I can understand why others, because there's such little revelation. For example, the dispensation of innocence didn't last very long. I remember hearing Dr. Wickham thought maybe a couple of weeks or so, but it didn't last very long. And there was no recorded scripture in those days. And only one chapter in the Bible deals with that entire dispensation. And then we have the other dispensations that followed: conscience, human government, and promise, in addition to innocence. Those four separate and distinct dispensations were all covered in the first book of the Bible, that found in the book of Genesis. So those dispensations ended. And so the only other book written during that time was Job. And so 64, if my math is right, 64 out of 66 books in the Bible all deal with law, grace, and that future messianic kingdom rule. And so there's a lot of revelation on those dispensations and not very much on the previous ones. So what we can see here is that the Bible, the New Testament, does describe and mention, sometimes by name, distinct administrations of God. And they use the term dispensation in exactly the same way dispensationalists used it. So, we're making progress in our understanding of this concept.